So it is good to be with all of you today. It's a little warm, so I'm going to try to keep my remarks to 90 minutes or less. Pledge to all of you. You know, I've come to New Jersey sometimes for Mass, sometimes to meet with Bishop George for other things, but I've come to this beautiful part of the country on a number of occasions, and I always start with the best of intentions, and I always start full of hope. I'll plug it into my navigation system, and I'll get on the road. And I've come from Connecticut, where I'm from. I've come from Manhattan. Today I came from Queens. And without fail, every single time, there's a detour. And the navigation system just doesn't work out right. And I've become an expert on that service road next to the Newark Airport for one reason or another. But and I know I was on the phone with Father Jason as he was driving this morning, and I think he had it even worse than I did this morning, because he was lost a couple times as well. But no matter how many times I come, I always start with that sense of hope that this time it's going to be a smooth and easy and direct trip to New Jersey. Hope springs eternal is what the expression says. And I think that's true. You know, I think we see that in so many parts of our lives and in our world. We are inherently a people of hope, despite whatever else we encounter. When the married couple decides they're going to begin their counseling sessions, I think they go with a sense of hope that perhaps now things will go in a different direction and things will work out and our life will have a sense of peace once again. When the parents drive their child to a center for recovery, they're saying that maybe this time she's ready and she'll be able to try to conquer this addiction. Maybe this time will be the time that it will take. When a new student begins classes, this is going to be the start of my new life and my new career, my new possibility, my new opportunities to make things better for my life and my family. When the patient is undergoing chemotherapy, this is what I need to be healed. This is what I need so that I can continue a healthy and full and vibrant life. We encounter these challenges, we encounter these difficulties, and we encounter them with a spirit of hope. We look around our world and we see there are things and there are people and there are occasions that are not right. They're just not right. And as Christians, I think we feel called when we hear the words of Christ in the gospel to roll up our sleeves. And we feel called to say something. And we feel called to do something. And we have that sense of hope to try to fix it and to make our world a better, a more just, and a more peaceful place. As Christians, we work for change. As Christians, we are a people of hope. But we know that despite our best efforts, we can't always change things. We can't always change people. Our world is an imperfect one. And in many ways, we can relate to the farmer that we hear about in the start of today's gospel. Because in the soil of our own lives, as we work to sow good seed, as we work to create fruit, as we work to make a wonderful life for ourselves, for our family, for our children, for our neighbors, as we work for health care for others, as we work to fight disease, as we work to promote peace in our troubled world, as we work for justice, we can't always change the world. And we can't always change people. At least not right now. At least not when we want. And very often, the good work that we try to do, we see weeds growing up, and we see the very life being choked out of these efforts. And that certainly could be a very frustrating experience. As Jesus talked about this homily, the people who live in his part of the world would have understood exactly what he was talking about. You see, in his land, there's a weed called darnel, and it looks a lot like wheat. And it grows up with the wheat, and you can't tell them apart until they're fully grown. And as it grows, it begins to strangle, and it begins to choke the wheat. And if you try to pull the wheat out, you pull the wheat out as well. And we destroy the good in our efforts to conquer the bad. I think weeds are a good symbol for evil in our world. I have a garden, and I can tell you that weeds exist. They do exist. It's nice to know, though, that it's not my fault and my poor gardening skills. It's that the evil one comes and sows the weed seeds at night, which is why those all sprout up. But we know that weeds exist, and we know that evil exists as well. It's easy sometimes for us to to look at evil and try to rationalize it and try to understand it. And I think it's an inherent thing to do. And if we look at the scripture today, we say, why is there evil in our world? And Jesus says that there is this evil and there is this sin because there is an evil one who has come and sown the weed. You know, sometimes when we have, in the gardens of our own lives, those weeds sprouting up, we find ourselves saying, you know, perhaps God is testing me. Perhaps God is challenging me with this hardship. Or we say, perhaps I'm being punished because I've done something wrong. But the scripture says that that's not the case. In this gospel here, we say it's not God that's challenging you. It's an evil one who is amongst us. And there is evil that we must encounter sometimes in our world. But we also see through this that God gives fruit. And it is growing. And it is growing along with it. It's easy for us to want to just jump right in and start pulling the weeds out. But God says we cannot always do that. And Christ says today that we have to be patient. And sometimes we have to watch the weeds grow up along with it. And there's nothing that we can do about that in our lives. We can't be overzealous, or we will destroy the very good things that we are working on as well. I think that that is something that we all can relate to as well, especially in our own spiritual life and our own spiritual journey. Like that mustard seed, many of our parishes, our communities in the American National Catholic Church are smaller places. They're beginning from humble roots, and they can be looked at as a very simple thing. And we are being planted in the midst of sometimes a crazy world, in a world where there are lots of challenges that face us. But we are people, or we are called to be a people of patience. We are called to let our fruit grow. We are called to let wonderful things happen, and to realize there will be challenges along the way, that the evil one will come and sow, and weeds will grow up next to us. But we have to have faith in the final harvest. You know, if God didn't love us, if God wasn't invested in our world, it would be a whole different story. And at the end of the day, it would all just be a big muddled mess. But God does love us, and God is invested in us. We need no further proof than to look at the cross to see just how much God is invested in the outcome of this harvest. Today, in a very special way, we are able to witness a transformation and a change as Brother Gidi is instituted into the Order of Lector. It is a time for him and for all of us to sort of reflect upon these different roles and different tasks within the church and to see what they mean to us. It's easy, I think, sometimes to see certain things that we do in our weekly liturgy, whether it's helping with music or helping with collections or helping set up things before Mass or proclaiming the Word, as little tasks that get assigned on a schedule, or that's just what he does or that's just what she does, and to think of it as a little checklist for what we have to do to make liturgy happen. But it's important sometimes for us to step back and focus and realize these are important ministries and they are important tasks. And that through them, we are able to promote the kingdom and build the kingdom and bring people closer together. You know, the word of God that will be proclaimed moving forward from Brother Gidi is a very special and wonderful opportunity for him to help bring other people close to God. It is sending a message of hope. It is bearing and bringing forth the very words of God to God's people. It is an opportunity for a message of love and a message of redemption and a message of new beginnings to start over for people each and every day. It's a very important task that he will have. And it's an important task that you and I and all of us share as well. Because through our common baptism, we are all called to share the good news and to call people towards Christ. So today, as we watch G begin this new and important ministry, our hope and our prayer is that he inspires us to be proclaimers of the word, that he inspires us to tell other people about this message and about this way of life which we have encountered. You know, the world says the weeds are going to grow up. There's nothing you can do about it. The weeds are just going to grow, and you better look out for yourself, because if you spend all your time trying to worry about the whole garden and the harvest of others, no one's going to take care of you. No one's going to look out for you. The world says what's most important is the car you drive. The world says what's most important is how you look and the label that's on your clothes. But Christ says, I have called you. I have called each and every one of you by name, and you are mine. Christ says, go out and baptize people. Christ says, go out and call people and build my church. The challenge for you, the challenge for me, is who do we listen to this week? Do we listen to our world, or do we listen to the one that we call the Christ? Our ultimate question for us, do we really believe in this man, Jesus? Do we really believe in his way?